is beginning to rain, 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 in the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my Spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky, it's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends, this is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church. Coming to you from Austin, Texas. Great to be with you again here from our studio in Austin, Texas. And, you know, I love these worship service times each week with you, that we can be really as one, because no matter how geographically separated you and I are, we are indeed together in Christ Jesus. It says in the Bible, you know, Peter said that we are a peculiar people, a holy nation. A lot of people don't understand that. How can we be a nation? I may be American, you may be German or Italian. This broadcast goes around the world. But the fact is that everyone who knows Christ Jesus has the witness in himself that he is of God, and he is of one nation, a peculiar race indeed, but that generation that is made new by Christ Jesus. Well, we've got a little song here. This is an old-time song, but you know, we love the beautiful old music here. Never really gets old. We're going to have a song, and then we're going to continue our talks on how you can be happy. In fact, how the world really cannot stop you from being happy, prosperous, joyful, content. First, let's have this song. Bill Gaither Trio presents this, and this is volume one of their album series, especially for children. Well, let's just get in the guise of a child today, you and I, and we can enjoy this as well. And I'll be right back with today's message after this message and song.
When Jesus sent you to us, we loved you from the start. You were just a bit of sunshine from heaven to our hearts. Not just another baby, 'cause since the world began, there's been something very special for you in his plan. That's why he made you special. You're the only one of your kind. God gave you a body, and he gave you a mind. He had a special purpose that he wanted you to find. So he made you something special. You're the only one of your kind.
I have a little sister who's not at all like me. She can write a lovely poem, but I can climb a tree. My brother, though he's different, with freckles on his nose, when my questions need answers, he's the one who knows.
That's why I'm something special. I'm the only one of my kind. God gave me a body and a bright, healthy mind. He had
Daddy mows the backyard while my mommy makes the bed. And my little brother, he cleans the playroom. And me, I see that our dogs get fed.
And each one needs the other to help him through the day. And love must be the reason God planned it just that way. That's why I'm something special. I'm the only one of my kind.
God gave you your body, and he gave you your mind.
He had a special purpose that he wanted me to find.
So he made you something special. You're the only one of your kind. He made you something special.
He made me something special.
He made you something special. You're the only one of your kind.
Well, thank the Bill Gaither Trio for that movie. You know, God made each of us as a creature. I said movie, excuse me, song. I guess it created Sandra here, and she says, hey, that's not a movie, that was a song. Well, yes, I know that. But I guess I was talking about creating a movie in my mind, right? I don't know. You know, it is true that God made each of us special, and yet, you know, there is the potentiality, but only if we accept Jesus as Lord. Otherwise, well, you know, the destiny of man unsaved is not too pleasant. And I'll tell you something else, my friends. Although it seems that when you look at the world, those who prosper, and I'm talking about material riches, who succeed in terms of finances and money, are often not the Christians. A lot of people ask questions about that. It might be that we should pray that God will keep us poor. And maybe even my wife wouldn't like me to say that. I mean, nobody really, you know, I guess in our flesh wants to be poor, but there might be some advantages of it. Well, enough on that. Today, let's continue our message on how to succeed in life beyond your wildest dreams. And my friends, I've skipped all the way past the material. You see, those are just, I think, at the very basest instinct level of human existence. But there is something greater in terms of success. And the wonderful thing about God's Word, the Scriptures, is that He has mapped out a plan for us, even giving us, as I mentioned before, five legs or pillars or piers, if you wish, of strength, anchors of power for strength and stability that we can build on to be successful in life. Now, if you want to know how to get rich materially, go somewhere else, because God's prosperity is far greater. You see, I don't want to be just a cheap person who offers you material riches, because I'm a servant of God, and God did not do that. I mean, He has the capability. He has streets of gold. He has all the gold. He owns everything, but those things are not going to be of any value at all in the end time, in the great tribulation to come. They will be of no importance to you, and the rich men will cry out, it says in James, and even howl in their miseries. They'll cry, screaming in their miseries. And the Bible actually says they'll cast out their gold and silver and their money into the street, because it won't be of any usefulness to them. Well, what will be useful? We've talked about the first pillar, and that is faith in Jesus, and the kinds of faith, the type that you should have for success in life. Second, we talked about repentance. A lot of people say, well, that's negative. No, it's not negative at all. A turning away from sin toward victory through forgiveness. That cleansing of repentance brings great hope and great prosperity in terms of spiritual riches. Well, we're going to talk about number three in our five pillars or piers of strength today, and that is to confess Christ to the world. If you want to be successful, don't just keep Christ within. I recall when President Bill Clinton was elected, he made a statement that I totally disagree with. I disagree with it because it is an unholy, ungodly, untrue statement. He said that he really didn't talk much about his Christianity. Well, of course, we found out why. But he claimed to be a Christian, and he says, I don't discuss it much because I believe that religion is a private matter between a person and God. That is a very strange ideology for a Christian, because our religion, which is pure and undefiled, is very much a public matter. And if you do not make it a public concern, a public matter, then just taking the word of God as true, then you are not a Christian. And I knew right away there we had a problem with Mr. Clinton. Now, the Bible says you are to judge people not because you don't like them or because of their politics or their looks or any other factors, but you are to judge people by their fruits. Now, a lot of people use highfalutin words today like integrity and character, that you should judge people by those factors. Well, of course, all of that is found in a person's fruit. Does a person demonstrate, not just pretend to have, but demonstrate character and integrity, honesty, faithfulness, loyalty, all of those things? Does he indeed? Those would be fruits. Character, integrity, faithfulness, virtues that involve fruits, as the Bible calls them. And our Lord said you can judge a person by his or her fruits. Now, one of the fruits of a Christian is to confess Christ Jesus to the world. Now, you don't have to take my word for it. Let me give you some scriptures. Because I believe that many Christians do not prosper today spiritually. I believe they're even miserable. And they don't even know it because they want to please the world so much that they're frightened to death to do this one thing, this one commandment that God has given us. And if you don't do this, I promise you, you will be a most desperate and miserable soul. You know, a famous political scientist over 200 years ago made a statement. He said, most men lead lives of quiet desperation. Think about that. Most men go about their daily lives at a very low, a high level, but very quietly. They're just desperate. People are wary. They're fearful about their jobs, their families, their health, their finances, their appearance, their status with their neighbors and their friends and in their church and at work. They lead lives of quiet, but real desperation. I believe the Christian places himself in that category. He cannot lead a fruitful and joyful and content life if he does not confess Christ to the world. It says in Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33, whosoever therefore shall confess me, now Jesus is saying this, me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. Imagine that, confessing Christ here on earth, and Jesus will confess that he knows you before his Father in heaven. Then he goes on to say, but whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Now, a lot of people say, well, I don't really deny Christ. I just don't mention him to others. I don't really let people know. I don't want to be too much of a triumphantist. I don't want to be too pushy with my religion. I just lead by quiet example. You know what? You're a coward. Don't tell me you lead by quiet example. I'm not suggesting you go out and scream at the top of your lungs, although that may be a good idea. Jesus is Lord and I love him. That may be all right. You may be surprised at your success in doing that. But certainly, most people take it as a shibboleth or a principle that really we're supposed to just keep quiet. If you just lead a nice, quiet life, be a good person, don't cheat people of their money, smile a lot, have all your neighbors like you as such a wonderful, kind, good-hearted man or woman, a nice wife, a nice worker, dependable, loyal, reliable, then, they claim, they're serving God. But my friends, Jesus wants you to tell the whole world that He is Christ and Lord of your life. Now, this puts a lot of pressure on you. What if you don't live up to His example? Who of us can really say, I walk in the steps of Jesus? But you see, God doesn't require an example so much that we are gods, little gods walking this earth. But He wants you to strive to be perfect. Strive to be as Jesus. If you fail, then you can go to Christ Jesus and ask for forgiveness, and He'll put you back on the road again. Not an excuse to sin, believe me. But my friends, God has allowed us to have a repentant spirit, and He will bless that. And He will take you from glory to glory and victory to victory. If you will but confess Him, and never, never, please, please, never as a Christian deny Him. So your Christianity is not private at all. It's public. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10 says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. How does a person become saved? So many people ask me that. Do I just believe? Well, it says right here, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. See, well, I do believe in Jesus. I believe that God raised Him from the dead. But have you confessed it with your mouth? Have you told other people, I believe, I confess Jesus Christ as Lord of my soul, my life. He is my God. Romans continues, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Some people just sit there in church and say, oh yes, I believe. And then they leave the church building. Or maybe they're at home and they say, I believe. They make a decision for Christ. Maybe after getting on their knees and praying, I believe. And then they go out into the world. And then they're too frightened, too scared, too cowardly, too timid, too cowed by the world and its opinions that they just can't bring themselves to confess Jesus as Lord. Some people say, will people think I'm a second-class citizen? Will people think I'm one of those people who live on the other side of the tracks? Will people think I'm uncouth and stupid, and I'm not in with all the newest theories and ways of believing and acting and conducting my life? Will they think I'm an old fuddy-duddy? Maybe I better not confess Christ. I'll believe in Him. Yes, I've given my life to Him, but, well, have you really given your life to Him? Do you really believe in Him? Where is the fruit? And that fruit is to confess Him. Your heart believes, that's fine. But the next step, the Bible says, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You believe in Him, you're not even saved yet. You say, well, oh yes, I believe in Him. So many people I talk to said, I believe in God. Oh yes, I believe. I'm a believer. But then I say, are you saved? They say, well, I'm not sure about that. Well, I'm sure. I'm sure they're not saved. If they don't know, they're probably not. Although there's some people out there that are just plain hard-headed. God saves them, and then they don't want to believe it. They keep saying, I'm not good enough to be saved. I know I've done so many sins in my life. I'm just sure God couldn't save me. I've told the story of one woman that came all the way. I believe it was from Massachusetts to Texas here. Just because she said, I don't know how I can get enough faith in myself to believe that I can really be saved. I'm so worried I'm not saved. I just had to come down. Please tell me how I can know for sure that I'm saved. And I took her through the Roman road, it's called. I took her through the Bible and all those things. And after I finished, I said, you believe all these things? She says, yes, absolutely, I really do. She just welled up with tears in her eyes. She said, but I don't know, I just don't, surely God would not save me. This woman had low self-esteem, the psychologist would say. But that was not her problem. Her problem was she didn't truly believe in God because he said he has the power to save you. And if you confess him with your mouth that you believe in him and with your heart you believe unto righteousness, you will be saved. And so I asked her why she was a doubter. I'm not a doubter. I believe. Will you confess that Jesus Christ has saved you? I don't know if he can save me. I'm such a big sinner, she says. Well, do you know of any other sinners bigger than you that he's saved? I'm sure he saved other sinners bigger than me. Have you murdered anybody? No, she said. Well, I said, well, God saved a lot of murderers. She says, really? I said, oh, yeah. She said, are you sure they're saved? Maybe they just think they're saved. I said, well, the Apostle Paul was a murderer. She said, oh. I said, you see, so everything you've done is less than murder? She said, yes. I said, well, then did God save Paul? She says, oh, yes, I believe. I said, you better start confessing Jesus Christ as Lord and acknowledging the power that he has to save you. That's your problem. You're not confessing. Have you went and told your neighbors, have you told your friends that you believe in Jesus? Well, no, because I don't know that I'm saved. So you haven't confessed Christ Jesus to others. Well, no, she said. Well, I just got to the root of your problem. You don't have the fruit of a Christian, I told her. And the fruit is confession. Now listen, there's some people out there that are afraid. They're really afraid. It's a fearful thing in today's world because you're not popular as a Christian to say that you believe in Christ Jesus. Now, listen to what John in chapter 12, verses 42 and 43 has to say about that. It says, nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. I want you to understand something. Even some of the top rulers in government, some of the higher officials in Israel believed on Christ Jesus. But they said, I don't want to confess him. I don't want anybody to know publicly because, you know, I could have some real persecution because of this. They could even put me out of the synagogue, out of the church. And they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Let me tell you something, my friends. Those people are probably in hell today. You said, now, Tex, how could you say that? They believed on him. You have to understand, my friends, did I not just read to you Romans chapter 10, where it says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. They never confessed him. Their belief was barren of fruit. Barren of fruit. Mark 8, verse 38 says, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father and with the holy angels. My friends, when Jesus comes again, will he be ashamed of you? I don't want Jesus to be ashamed of me. How can he not be if you're so ashamed of him, you hide his great gift of salvation? You say you have faith, you say you have belief, you say you've repented, but you say you haven't confessed. Really? All of those things are just the beginning. There are people, my friends, who get sick on green apples. they're not quite ready. Or they get bananas, and they're not ripe yet. They're still green, and they eat them, and they get terrible stomach sickness. I believe these people are sick. They've done all kinds of things. And the churches are full of people out there like this, who are like green apples, who are like green bananas. They'll make you sick because they have not truly confessed Christ Jesus. And let me tell you why. They don't want to lead the life of Christ. They don't want to strive to be perfect and follow His steps. That's so hard that they would prefer to not let anybody really know that they're a Christian. And you know what? They're not a Christian because they haven't confessed Him with their mouth. So to become a mature believer, to succeed in life beyond your wildest dreams, you must not only believe, but you must confess Christ to the whole world. And then amazing things happen. We're going to talk more about this because, you see, there are people that say, well, couldn't I belong to some other religion and go to heaven and be saved? Do I really have to be a Christian? We're going to talk about that next week as we continue this series on how to succeed in life beyond your wildest dreams. This is Tex Mars. This is Bible Home Church. Love worshiping with you today. See you next week.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.